Death Is Not Goodbye by Benjamin Russell. Read by Mist Marauder. When TK headed to the ambulance on his first day as an Austin paramedic, he thought he knew what to expect. He'd worked as a dual-function firefighter paramedic in New York, and he'd been working at the 126 for just under a year now. So he'd figured that other than some minor adjustments and getting used to a different routine, it wouldn't be much of a change from what he was used to. Then he climbed into the back of the ambulance to familiarize himself with where everything was before their first call, and was abruptly brought up short. There was someone sitting in there already. Someone he recognized. Someone who he'd mourned. Tim? TK rubbed his eyes and then pinched himself, certain he must be seeing things. But when he looked at the captain's chair again, the ghostly figure was still there. Tim was staring into space, form transparent and flickering occasionally, but it was clearly him. The expression on his face made TK's heart break all over again. Because not only had he died on the job in a horrific way, if TK had to guess, Tim was still reliving that moment. He looked scared. Worse, he looked traumatized. Tim, TK tried again, perching on the edge of the gurney so he could reach out and touch Tim's shoulder. Calling his name didn't seem to do anything. But the instant TK's hand made contact, Tim gave a full-body jerk and his gaze snapped to TK, suddenly very much present. TK's fingers went through Tim's shoulder and suddenly felt cold, so he snatched them back. But the brief touch seemed to have been enough. TK? Tim's voice wavered, as if he weren't sure what he was seeing was real. What happened? Shit. He seemed to take TK in properly for the first time, and before TK could answer, added, "Why are you wearing a paramedic uniform?" "What's the last thing you remember?" TK asked carefully, mind racing as he tried to understand what was going on. Tim paused for a moment. "We were on a call. A lava crack had opened up at a frat party. I was tending to a patient, and..." He trailed off again, starting to look a bit sick. "I'm dead, aren't I?" TK nodded reluctantly. "I'm so sorry." Tim's gaze snapped back to TK, concern suddenly overriding the ill expression. "Was anyone else hurt?" "No. No one else was hurt after we got on scene." TK sighed softly. "Other than you." "That's good." Tim's voice was faint, but he looked relieved. And after a few moments, visibly steeled himself. "And you're covering while they find a new paramedic?"
"It's been a while since you died," TK started tentatively. "They were having trouble finding someone suitable, and then I helped on a scene and realized that helping people that way was what I wanted to be doing."
He took a breath before continuing.
"What I'm trying to say is that I'm your replacement."
Tim nodded slowly, appearing to consider that piece of information.
"I'm glad. Nancy deserves a partner she can rely on."
He attempted a weak smile.
"You've proved yourself as a person this last year, and I'm assuming your medical skills must be good if Tommy hires you."
TK felt oddly pleased to receive what he suspected was high praise indeed coming from the other man. Even if they'd never been close.
Thank you. That means a lot. I hope I can live up to your standards.
Tim opened his mouth to reply, but he was cut off by another voice. One sounding like they were fighting back tears.
Are you talking to who I think you're talking to?
TK whipped his head around to see Nancy step out from behind one of the ambulance doors, looking shaken but determined. He had no idea how to answer her question, knowing how it would sound if he said he was talking to her deceased former partner.
Are you talking to Tim?
She asked, making it clear what she suspected.
Yeah.
He may as well see how far they could get, seeing as it seemed like she believed in ghosts.
And you can see him?
TK nodded.
My mom's family have been able to see ghosts for generations.
Tell her Buster's favorite toy is Michelangelo, Tim said, drifting upright until he was standing next to where TK was perched on the gurney. TK glanced at him before looking back at Nancy and relaying the message despite not really understanding it. Although he did vaguely remember that Tim, and now Tommy, had a cat who he guessed was who Buster was. Nancy clapped her hands to her mouth and sobbed.
It's really him. Tell her I'm sorry for leaving her.
Tim's expression was pained, watching his ex-partner as clearly upset as she was. TK frowned, but passed on the message anyway.
He says he's sorry for leaving you.
Timothy Ryan Rosewater, Nancy snapped, scowling in the vague direction TK had glanced before.
Don't you dare apologize for dying.
Her eyes were watery, but she still looked like a force to be reckoned with, and TK was glad he wasn't the one on the receiving end of her anger. Tim, who was, winced even though Nancy couldn't see him.
Please give her a hug from me, he said after a moment.
I value being alive, thank you very much, TK replied, before clapping a hand to his mouth in horror.
Really? That's what you're going with?
Tim raised an eyebrow.
Shit. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Nancy asked, unknowingly mirroring Tim's expression.
He wants me to give you a hug from him.
While I'm happy I have that reputation, you can hug me.
The corner of Nancy's lips twitched up a bit. TK hopped off the stretcher and then out of the ambulance, before holding out his arms. Nancy stepped into the hug, wrapping her arms around him as she settled her chin on his shoulder. TK was just doing the same when she suddenly tensed up and hissed a surprised breath.
I can see him.
She pulled away again, staring into the ambulance at where Tim was currently standing, before snapping her head to look at TK as soon as they stopped touching each other. Then she cautiously put a hand on TK's shoulder whilst gazing into the ambulance.
I can see him when I'm touching you.
Well, in that case, touch me all you like.
TK winced at his wording again, praying that neither of the other two would mention it. Nancy's expression made it clear she'd noticed, but she didn't say anything about it. Instead, turning her attention fully to Tim.
I've missed you so much.
She raised her free hand as if she were reaching for Tim, although she faltered partway. Tim had no such hesitation, though. quickly moving forward so he could reach out too and take her hand. His fingers went straight through Nancy's, like TK's had done with Tim earlier. But he snatched his hand back and held it out, so it was hovering over Nancy's and their fingertips were just touching. TK felt himself welling up, watching them, so looked away and blinked rapidly in an attempt to clear his vision. With unfortunate timing, that was when the alarm went for a medical call. TK and Nancy leapt into action, Nancy hurrying for the driver's seat while TK went for the passenger side. He was buckling himself in when Tim drifted through the divide between the back of the ambulance and the cab to hover in the space between the two seats. Then the back door slammed, and Tommy called through that she was ready, so Nancy pulled out of the station and they were on their way. It definitely wasn't what TK had been expecting from his first call, but he couldn't say that he minded. Having Tim there, even as a ghost, was better than the alternative. "This is weird," Tim spoke up, summing up how TK was feeling quite succinctly. "Yep." TK looked sideways at him, keeping his voice low so Tommy hopefully wouldn't hear him. "This isn't how I thought my first call would go." "I'm glad you're here." Nancy didn't look around, focused on the road ahead, but her tone left no room for argument. TK had seen Nancy's grief in the wake of Tim's death, but the last 10 minutes was really driving it home how close the two of them had been. Worse still, he wasn't really sure what the correct words were, given that Tim was here with them instead of in his grave up in Baltimore. What he was sure about was that they'd done a bad job of including the paramedics in their out-of-work meetups, and he vowed to do better going forward. Even if no one else would know that Tim was there. Although, if Nancy could see him when she was in contact with TK, what was to say that the others couldn't too? "Why are you frowning?" Tim asked, pulling TK from his thoughts. TK scrubbed the back of his neck, feeling a little embarrassed for having been called out. "I was just thinking how I'd done a bad job of inviting you both to things." Tim impatiently gestured from TK to Nancy, and taking the hint, TK reached out and lightly touched her shoulder, trying to avoid sticking his arm through Tim's chest as he did so. "See? Cool kids," Tim said cryptically. His comment clearly meant for Nancy. Nancy snorted, even as she hit the button to change the traffic lights on their approach and they powered through an intersection. "What?" TK glanced between them, having no idea what Tim was talking about. "I have this theory," Tim started, a faint grin making its way onto his face. "EMS is like the nerd table in high school, and fire are the cool kids. We might work alongside each other in class, but outside..." "It's not like that," TK protested. But as he thought about it, he realized it was essentially what he'd just been thinking about. "Maybe it is," he admitted. "Fuck. What does that make me now?" "The popular kid who decided it would be fun to sit at the nerd table," Tim suggested, grin widening. "Do you have tests you need help on?" Nancy asked, joining in on the teasing. "Ha ha ha," TK said dryly, although he was glad that they were able to have this lighthearted banter. Not long after, they arrived at the scene. A 2-car crash that had sent one of them halfway off the road. Although thankfully it was just a gently sloping strip of dirt that ran alongside the tarmac. While its hood was a mangled wreck stuck in the other car's passenger door. Nancy pulled up between a fire truck and a couple of police cars that were blocking the road to prevent anyone attempting to drive through the scene until it was cleared. "Nancy, TK, you take that car. I'll take the other," Tommy instructed as they all piled out, grabbing the equipment they'd likely need before splitting up to see to the respective victims. Tim followed TK and Nancy to the car still on the road, and they joined the firefighter who was currently talking to the driver as he worked to get the door open. "She's conscious, but barely," he reported, as the paramedics reached him. giving the door one last tug and pulling it open. There's a head wound, but I don't know whether she's got any other injuries. All right, thanks. We'll take it from here, Nancy replied, immediately getting to work. TK hung back, ready to pass her anything she might need, and watched her work. She spoke to the victim in a calm tone, asking simple questions like what her name was and how she was feeling, whilst carefully inspecting the visible head injury and checking the woman over to see if she was hurt anywhere else. I'm going to put a neck brace on you to keep your head still, Nancy told her, holding out a hand to TK for said brace before adding, It's just a precaution, nothing to worry about. As TK handed her the neck brace, he noticed Tim floating through the hood into the inside of the car, getting easily into the passenger side of the vehicle despite the crumpled door that prevented the alive paramedics from doing so. Securing the brace, Nancy then glanced at TK. I think we should try to get her out so we can examine her properly. TK started to nod in agreement when suddenly Tim spoke up, the urgency in his tone prompting TK's head to snap towards him. She's bleeding from her right leg. It looks pretty serious. Catching Nancy's elbow so she could be involved in the conversation, TK craned his neck in an attempt to see where Tim was looking. But between the damage to the vehicle and the deployed airbag obscuring his view, he couldn't see anything. Never mind the injury itself. Tim says the victim is bleeding badly from the leg, TK relayed to Nancy before asking Tim. What do we need to do? We can't see the injury from here. I can't see anything in the wound, and she doesn't appear to be pinned, so you're going to need to get her out so you can stop the bleeding and wrap it, Tim reported, still completely professional even though he was a ghost and floating half in and half through the car. TK glanced at Nancy, wanting her opinion before doing anything, as she was the more experienced paramedic and also knew Tim and his skills much better. Let's move her, Nancy said without pause, clearly trusting Tim's judgment despite the weird situation. We need a hand here, she called out, drawing Tommy's attention from the other side of the cars, as well as bringing one of the firefighters hurrying over. We need to get this woman out of the car and on a backboard immediately, because she's bleeding badly from her right leg and we can't treat her in the vehicle. TK grabbed the gurney and wheeled it over, lowering it so it would be easy to get the patient on before he, Nancy, and the firefighter ever so carefully freed the woman from the car, and altogether lifted her onto it. As soon as she was laid down, TK set about strapping her down, while Nancy pressed a wad of gauze to the wound to slow the bleeding and started cutting the woman's trouser leg so they could see to it properly. Then TK took over, holding down the gauze so Nancy could prepare an antiseptic wipe and a dressing with Tim watching on. They weren't quite as smooth working together as TK had seen Nancy, Tim, and Michelle doing in the past, but he hoped that would come with time. It was only his first day, after all. And as it turned out, he was in the unique position of having his predecessor there to help. They treated the woman and got her into the ambulance, and then just as Nancy was hurrying around to the front, Tommy jumped into the back with TK and the patient, pulling the door closed behind her. Ready to go, she called through to Nancy, watching TK hooking the patient up to the monitor but not getting involved. It felt a little crowded in the back of the ambulance with three paramedics and a patient, but as Tim wasn't corporeal and no one else could see him, TK didn't say anything. It was still nowhere near as claustrophobic as some of the situations he'd been in as a firefighter anyway. They handed off the patient once they reached the hospital, and then headed back to the firehouse at a slower pace, taking the chance to catch their breaths after the intensity of the call. TK didn't dare speak to Tim while Tommy was there, but he shot him a thumbs up and a grin when her back was turned, trusting that the other man would interpret it as congratulations for catching that the woman had been hurt. Tim gave him a small smile in return, so TK counted it as a success and settled back in his seat to relax for the rest of the journey. After Nancy reversed into the ambulance bay with TK waving her in, Tommy climbed out of the back and came to stand next to TK, a slight furrow in her brow. Nancy, TK, a minute? She asked, once Nancy joined them but before they could think about going anywhere. Sure, Cap, Nancy replied, loosely folding her arms as she waited for Tommy to say whatever she had to say. TK just tried not to think that he'd done something wrong already. "Good job on your first call, TK," Tommy told him warmly.
"Thanks, Captain,"
TK smiled, a warm feeling settling in his gut at the praise. "Secondly, how did you know that the patient was bleeding? I saw the scene and there was no way you could have seen from where you were standing."
TK's stomach dropped at the question, but Tommy's tone wasn't accusative, just confused.
TK started,
no idea how to explain without telling the truth. He looked to Tim, who was standing off to one side, widening his eyes slightly in an attempt to wordlessly ask what to do. It was Tim's secret, after all.
"You can tell her the truth," Tim said solemnly. "If you show her that I'm here, she'll have no chance but to believe you."
"Guys?" Tommy looked between TK and Nancy, clearly wondering why neither of them had answered her question. Nancy had been watching TK, able to guess he was communicating with Tim even if she couldn't currently see her former partner. And TK had been, from Tommy's point of view, staring into empty space.
"We had help," TK told her simply, before hovering his hand over Tommy's shoulder.
"May I?" Tommy looked even more confused, but nodded regardless. TK lightly rested his hand on her shoulder and gestured towards Tim with his other hand, before setting one on Nancy's arm so both women could hopefully see Tim. Tommy gasped and brought a hand to her mouth as she spotted him.
"Tim spotted it," Nancy told her, giving her friend a proud smile. "He was able to get inside the car and saw the injury. You don't stop being a paramedic, right?"
The corner of Tim's mouth quirked up as he shifted his weight from foot to foot under the intensity of Tommy's stare.
"Have you been here this whole time?" Tommy asked eventually, shock still splashed across her face even as it began to slowly morph into curiosity.
Tim seesawed his hand side to side, his form wavering a little in the way it had when TK first stepped into the ambulance. And guessing that he was remembering the trauma, TK fielded Tommy's question.
"As far as I can tell, he was essentially frozen in the moment of his death until I woke him earlier," he told her, making air quotes around the word woke.
"My mom's family have been able to see ghosts for generations, and as it turns out, I can temporarily share that sight with others." He lifted his hand from Tommy's shoulder for a second before touching her once more to demonstrate.
"I'm so sorry, Tim, for what happened and how I acted beforehand."
TK didn't need to know Tommy well to know that she felt guilty about how she'd acted when she'd just returned to work, especially given that Tim had then died. Tim shot her a quick, weak smile before changing topic. Not that TK blamed him for not wanting to talk about his death.
"What happened to Buster?"
Tommy's expression brightened a little at the mention of the cat.
"I took him in. He misses you, but he's settled in okay, I think."
She hesitated before asking,
"Would you like to see a photo?"
Nancy snorted, making everyone look at her. But as she looked surprised at the attention, she probably hadn't realized she'd made a noise.
"Tim would have to have had a brain transplant for him not to answer yes to that," she explained, shooting her friend a cheeky grin.
Tim rolled his eyes in response, but nodded anyway.
"Yes, please."
Tommy pulled out her phone and tapped at it a few times, before turning it around so the three of them could see the photo she'd pulled up. It was of her daughter sat next to each other on a sofa, with Buster draped across both of their laps, and all three of them looked absolutely content.
"Okay, that's adorable," Nancy said, as TK leaned closer to get a better look.
"Perhaps you can come over and see him sometime," Tommy suggested.
"I'd like that," Tim replied, a smile growing on his face.
"Thank you." Eventually, they had to get back to work, but Tim stuck with Nancy and TK all day, both on and off call. While there wasn't another situation like the first call, Tim was still helpful, giving his insights about the various patients and letting them know what to expect on the occasions it took TK and Nancy longer to reach the injured party. It definitely wasn't what TK had expected from his first shift as a paramedic, but it certainly wasn't a bad thing. And now he'd had the chance to get to know the other man better. The chance he hadn't really given himself when Tim was alive. He'd found that Tim had a dry wit that paired with his spot-on timing, had TK laughing out loud on several slightly inappropriate occasions. "How about a drink?" TK suggested, as he and Nancy packed up their gear at the end of the shift. "All three of us." He gestured between him, Nancy, and Tim before adding with a chuckle, "I'm guessing, Tim, you can't drink and I don't, but Nancy, you at least can have one." "Great," Nancy replied dryly. "But sure, as long as it's not just you two watching me drink." "I can bring Carlos, too," TK offered, pulling out his phone so he could send his boyfriend a message. "Then it's not just the two of us." "That's not what I meant, and you know it." Nancy cuffed him around the head, but she was grinning, so TK just beamed at her as he danced out of the way of any further swipes. "Seriously, though, do you mind if I invite him?" TK asked, glancing toward Tim as he figured the other man was most likely to object given the situation. Tim shook his head, though. "Go ahead. I don't know how long I've got, so the more people I get to speak to one more time, the better." The mirth dissipated as TK lowered his phone to stare at him. "I really wish I could hug you right now." The sadness hung in the air for a beat before TK thought, "Fuck it." "You know what? I'm doing it anyway." He took a couple of steps towards Tim and wrapped his arms around thin air in the best approximation of a hug he could manage. There was a definite chill where he was touching Tim's ghostly form, and while it wasn't the same as it would be if Tim was corporeal, TK hoped it would serve as some measure of comfort anyway. Then he felt physical contact as Nancy stepped up and did the same, enclosing Tim in a circle of arms. "Thanks," Tim murmured, sounding a little choked up despite not actually having vocal cords or a throat. Half an hour later, the three of them were settled around a corner table in the back of a bar, TK and Nancy with their knees touching so Nancy could see Tim. Nancy was a fair way through her pint, TK was sipping in a glass of lemonade, and they were telling amusing anecdotes to distract Tim from the fact that he couldn't have either. "Hey, babe," Carlos said as he reached them, leaning down to press a kiss to the side of TK's head. "Hey!" He broke off and snapped his head up to stare at where Tim was sitting before shaking himself. "I could have sworn you saw Tim?" TK finished, smiling a little up at his boyfriend. "How did you?" Carlos managed, before TK reached out to curl his fingers around Carlos's wrist. Carlos's eyes widened as he realized the glimpse he'd gotten earlier wasn't in fact him imagining things. "Hi, Carlos." Tim tipped an imaginary hat at him. "Nice to see you again." "Likewise." Carlos sat down, still kind of staring. "How are you here? How come I can only see you when I'm touching TK?" "Honestly, I don't know. I didn't believe in ghosts until I woke up as one this morning." Tim shrugged, not mentioning how he'd likely actually been a ghost since he died, but TK couldn't blame him for glossing over that part. "And apparently TK is the ghost whisperer." The corner of Tim's mouth curled up at the last part, and as he caught TK's gaze, his eyes twinkled. "It's hereditary," TK added, "through my mom's family." "Huh." Carlos appeared to digest that bit of information for a few moments before Nancy spoke up, changing the subject to keep the conversation moving. "How's Michelle?" "She's doing great," Carlos replied with a smile, clearly proud of his friend. "I've never seen her with more sense of purpose, and I think she's really making a difference to the people she works with." "I know it's not what I said before, but I'm happy for her," Tim admitted, fiddling with the cuff of his sleeve. You never know how long you've got, so the fact that she found her vocation and is doing it is great. Is there something you wish you'd done? TK asked gently, wondering if there was some way that they could let Tim experience whatever he hadn't done. Oh, nothing major. I loved being a paramedic, but I wish I'd seen my family one last time, pandemic or no. Maybe you could, TK suggested, already thinking about flights and logistics, and how him showing up unannounced at the Rosewater house would go. I'll go with you, let them see you, if you want. You'd do that for me? Tim stared at him in what looked like disbelief. 2K nodded and gave him a small smile. Nancy could come too. We can make a road trip of it. Wait, Carlos interrupted, brow furrowed in thought. How many ghosts are there here right now? Is there more than just Tim? Can you see the ghosts of everyone who's ever died? It's just Tim. I don't think everyone becomes a ghost, and they certainly aren't everywhere, but we can talk about that later. TK smiled at Carlos affectionately, leaning in to kiss him briefly. Anyway, we're meant to be celebrating Tim being here, so we better get you a drink. Later, Carlos agreed, in a tone that TK knew meant he was going to hold him to that, before standing up and heading to the bar. TK watched him go, before Nancy coughed pointedly and he snapped his head back to look at her, flushing a little, but mostly unrepentant. Can you blame me? He grinned at her, shrugging. She rolled her eyes and punched him in the shoulder. But Tim just chuckled, and soon they were all laughing. It wasn't how TK thought his first day would go, but he couldn't imagine a better one. A couple of months later, TK had firmly settled into his role as paramedic, and he and Nancy worked seamlessly together. To outsiders, it even looked like they knew each other so well that they didn't even need to have full conversations. However, that was just a convenient cover for the fact that they were talking to Tim. He might not be able to actually treat their patients, but an extra pair of eyes often made a difference. And his ability to get to places that the alive members of their crew couldn't was invaluable, and saved lives more than once. While they would, of course, all prefer that Tim was still alive, this was the best alternative, because while he couldn't interact with physical objects, through TK he could still talk to Nancy, Tommy, and since they shared his existence with the rest of the 126, the firefighters too. The other thing they'd discovered that had made Tim's day was when he had that promised visit to Tommy's to see how Buster was getting on. And as soon as he'd entered the room, the cat had run straight for him. The superstition that cats could see ghosts was true, because Buster not only saw and recognized his first owner, but Tim could even pet him. Both Tim and Buster had been so happy that day that neither TK nor Tommy could bear to end it. Arguably, TK could have left, but it gave Tim the ability to talk to other people when his attention wasn't solely focused on his cat. And TK was perfectly happy chatting with Tommy and playing with Evie and Isabella. After that, they started having regular paramedic crew get-togethers at Tommy's, giving all of them the chance to get to know each other better outside of work, as well as letting Tim spend time with Buster. And having a friendly ghost around came in handy when TK's dad brought the attention of an arsonist hidden in plain sight down on him and the 126. TK didn't want to know how it might have played out without Tim there to see Raymond plant his incendiary devices in the firehouse. But his dad was alive thanks to Tim, and TK would forever be grateful for that. The end.